Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, hello, and welcome inside. Happy Thursday. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hobo.
Live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Well, here we go. The late tip-off. Got about 4 minutes to go before halftime. The Knicks began this game up 28-9.
Yeah.
And at least I can say, well, they gave away the lead quickly rather than just over the course of the entire game, which I think is better. They lead the Sixers right now, game six, 45-41. Again, about 4 minutes left to go. Joel Embiid has just gone to the bench for the Sixers. This is where the Knicks absolutely have to take advantage of non-Embiid minutes, because clearly when he's out there and he can't go, they're sitting him now for a little bit, and they have to push this lead back out, because you can't not take advantage when Embiid is not in the game, and this is a big moment now for the Knicks to be able to say, hey, let's push that lead back out before halftime.
I got to say, I have a really big problem with one of the graphics they just showed on the telecast. It said bench points 76ers 22-0. I really just saw a putback from Hartenstein. What the hell?
No, well, listen, well, it was a pass from Quentin Grimes, and it was so I think it was actually credited to Quentin Grimes first.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm getting this correct in terms of the rotation.
Because Hartenstein's playing pretty well
out there.
He's 8-6. He's playing pretty well.
No, hell of an effort off the bench, giving them great balance. But it's another one of those examples, as we've been watching this and waiting for our turn to come on and yell. Really bad rebounding box outs. You guys are really crafty.
I'll tell you, that's what the Knicks do.
There's a lot of just planting their feet for the Sixers. Like, all right, I've got established my position. No, you still need to, move when you've got a guy starting to come towards the lane. Like, nah, oh, he got there. That's too bad. How many of those? I mean, that was the Hartenstein putback that we just watched a minute ago. I was like, really? There's three guys there.
Yeah, they need a little bit of that down low. They need to. The one thing watching this game and watching the Knicks lead evaporate was, yes, off the bench, all the Sixers do is have guys coming off the bench to hit threes. Like, Batum's 3-for-4. Yep. Buddy Hield is 3-for-5. This is a game where I don't know if it's good or bad. Well, that Scott Foster's refereeing, that's bad.
They just actually did an ISO shot of Foster, literally, as you said there.
It's a 6-point game, and Tyrese Maxey has 2 points.
Yeah.
He has made one field goal. He has made one shot today from the field, and it's a 4-point game. Now a 3-point game as the Sixers hit another three. Buddy Hield again. I mean, this is just insane. The Knicks were absolutely working the Sixers, and then suddenly, hey, here we all come off the bench, and with the stuff we haven't done in a long time. And between Hield and Batum, they are 7-for-10 from 3-point range. These two guys by themselves brought the Sixers back in this game.
Now, Embiid came right back into the game, very short span on the bench. What was that, about 38 seconds or something of game time? Doing my fundamental fuzzy math here without a box score in front of me at the moment. But immediately he returns, and you see the collapse on him a bit, giving the shooters opportunity to set up some crisp passing to move the ball around the horn and getting that open shot for Hield.
See, here's the thing, and here's where I would go if I was the Knicks. And now it's a 1-point game with 2.5 to go before halftime.
You're going
to
say they should hire Doc Rivers?
No. Well, we'll get to that.
You know where he's coming.
Doc to the Lakers.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I think he's already talked about it in the postgame after the Bucks got eliminated. You know, I really like living in L.A. Still have a house out there. Everything is wonderful. And I can get back out there. Look, I know what they're missing out there. Don't blame me for this here. All right, this is a load of crap when I took over. Don't blame me for this in Milwaukee, okay? I know we're a championship caliber team. Don't blame me for this. Not on me.
But, Doc, you were hired as an analyst to help things before you went down to become the coach.
No. I took over at the wrong time. And by that, I mean I took over when they weren't any good. So that's my problem. I should have took over when they were about to win the title.
Doc,
that's what I should have took over.
Doc, they were 30-13.
No, I think that's incorrect, actually. They had the, I think, 30-13 record. They had some stuff wrong. It was actually 13-30.
And then we submarine Adrian Griffin and ran him out of town. You and Giannis and Antetokounmpo.
Get ready for Doc to the Lakers.
Hey,
get ready.
Don't put that out there.
Get ready.
Stop.
Get ready.
Or if the Lakers take Ty Lue, does he go back to the Clippers? Let's go.
I was waiting for Doc Rivers to finish his press conference and put on a Laker hat. Go, all right, guys, I'll see you later on. See you in a couple of days.
I'm in the transfer portal immediately.
I'm going to go have a ham and cheese sandwich. See what I did there? See what I did? Yeah, you're going to get
text your family.
But I'm there.
You're not making it home tonight.
I'm there.
Wow.
I'm there.
Now you're getting threatened.
It's literally anybody but Doc.
No, but that was the first thing. Frostberg just started shaking his head. I go, I know exactly what's going through his head before he even said a word. Don't you put that voodoo on me.
Like with the Chargers, it was Harbaugh or nobody. Mm-hmm. This is anybody but Doc.
Yeah, but remember okay. what you were saying? They were going to trade Justin Herbert, and then what did you hear? All these swirling and rumors of, they just couldn't come to a compensation thing. What the hell?
The Jason Smith
trying to kill the man.
My best friend, Mike Harmon, live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Now, this game is tied right now, 49-49, and Sixers are going to the free throw line with a ridiculous foul. Look, I told you
that was a dumb foul.
I told you coming into this game, I expected the Knicks to lose. And then seeing Scott Foster, the extender on the game, I really expected the Knicks to lose.
Well, but I mean, that's a clear foul where, like a dope, he was doing one of those WWE moves that has now become in vogue. Everybody run back and forth from corner to corner and then throw your ass into the guy.
I mean, I'm stunned the game is this close. I thought this would be a runaway for the Sixers.
Well, you got to make it look nice for the people.
I'm really not going to work on extending the series until the second half. But look, the Knicks got up big and the Sixers just are unbelievably unconscious from three-point range. Again, now, Hield and Batum are 7 for 10 from three-point range. And, what are you going
to
do?
Is it legal to put your stars in a hyperbaric chamber to get them 15 minutes of proper cryo rest?
I don't think you can do that. You need, like wet spots on the floor and stuff. Hey, we got to wipe this up. We got to do something. I don't think you can do that, actually.
Just wondering, what are the rules of engagement there?
Now, you asked me what I would do now, seeing this is what's going on. Oh, and OG Anunoby just missed a breakaway layup. How does he miss
Couldn't
a breakaway
decide
layup?
Whether he wanted to lay it in or dunk it.
He has had an awful first half, Anunoby. Ooh. He has had so many chances up close, and he has not finished anything.
That's a shacked in the fool.
He has had an awful first half. Absolutely awful. But here's the thing about what we're seeing. And another three by the Sixers. It's a five-point lead now with 6 seconds to go before halftime.
You know, that's future Laker miss. Buddy Hield.
You know? But here's the thing. Yeah, exactly. The Knicks get a bucket before the break, and it's going to be a 54-51 lead by Philly going into halftime over the Knicks. A first half, which now the Sixers expend a lot of energy to come back in the game. But look, you asked me what I would do now.
What would you do in this game? Yeah.
Joel Embiid is playing well, and he's someone, obviously, he's Joel Embiid, even if he's not 100%. But if I'm the Knicks, and you can see them collapsing, and they're allowing the three-point shot, they have to go in the second half and say, you know what, Embiid, we're going to let you have the ball, and you got to work it.
Yeah, because if you're that far away from the basket, unless he's established truly down in the low post,
the Knicks have
then,
to get
then,
out.
You, then you double up, I guess, as you need to. But where he's been catching the ball, I don't think running the second guy out is how you want to operate this. Make him dribble if he wants to put the ball on the court.
This is how the Knicks win the game. Because, yes, you're okay with Embiid, and he gets in, he gets his points. But number one, okay, you're talking about twos instead of all this barrage of threes that are keeping you in. And the Knicks have to get out on the perimeter and stop that from happening. And eventually, and this is the big thing, is Embiid's played a ton of minutes, and you know he's going to get tired in the fourth quarter. So when it comes down to the fourth quarter, it's going to be like game one and game two, where what's he really going to have left? And then again, defending the Sixers is going to be much easier. So if I'm, and I knew coming into this game, all right, the Sixers are in this and they're just going to keep shooting threes, and Maxey and company are going to keep shooting until they win this series or get back, or get back in it. And now the Knicks really have to adjust and say, all right, we have to get out on guys on the perimeter because guys are just hot.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
No one's missing shots from three. They're and it's all catch and shoot. It's catch and shoot. It's a dribble around a screen and it's hitting a shot. I mean, the Knicks have to change what they're doing.
Yeah, but in the second half, Nick Nurse gets to activate the Winter Soldier. And Maxey will actually start becoming more of an offensive threat. You're in trouble here.
Look, I already...
He'll have that code, whatever the hell Zemo said to, said to him to get him moving.
I already said I'm accepting that this is going to seven games, right? After blowing game five, which is, again, the worst Knicks loss in 25 years, seeing this turnaround in Philadelphia, now Scott Foster on the game. Yeah, okay.
I've never game wanted a live Saturday. Look-in on game text seven exchanges Saturday. With you and Frostberg more. Than when Scott Foster was announced as the chief.
I mean, look, the NBA knows who they're sending to games. They know we're sending Scott Foster to this Knicks-Sixers game. They know the home
team. They tapped the elbow and said, get after it.
They know the home team's record in Scott Foster games are like 48-20. So, I mean, look, you're fighting uphill, of course. And look, in the second half, it's going to be, are the Sixers going to be allowed to do whatever they want to, right? They're very physical defensively. The Knicks need to attack the basket a little bit more. And it so far, it's been a game where, hey, the Knicks were hot early, and then they couldn't hit anything.
I got to say, so, kind of sounded like obliquely you started doing your own two-minute drill, your own two-minute report. Your two-minute report was right there. It's like, well, you know, here's a bunch of things that went the Sixers' way. Like, you're already speaking that into existence, even though you bemoaned and said, no, that's not what we do. We're Knicks fans. We take our losses.
I mean, I almost feel like with Embiid, The strategy in the second half should be like what teams did to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at the end. Now, and I'm going back, and they kind of did it with Shaq a little bit, but not quite as much. But Kareem at the end, when he was 38, 39, 40, what teams would do was they would, hey, we're going to let you get heavy, heavy involvement all throughout the first three quarters. And Kareem would get, when he's 38, 30, he would score 30 points, 35 points.
Still had the most unstoppable shot in NBA history.
Back when it was, when 30, 35 was like, 60 now. But by the time it got to the fourth quarter, Kareem was exhausted. All of a sudden there was not enough on his hook shot, and he wasn't the same guy, because they knew, we're going to let you get the ball offensively. We know how you're going to shoot. You're not going to make every shot, but you're going to get points. But then the fourth quarter comes, you're going to be tired, and your shots are going to be short, and that's how we're going to take over and we're going to win. And that happened to Kareem at the end. And even though Embiid is not at that point in his career, he's not healthy, he's not in shape. You can see, as Rick Bucher likes to point out, he's going to join us after the show tonight, I've never seen a guy getting tired shooting free throws, and that's Embiid. So, okay.
That's a couple of weeks ago. He's worked his way back in.
The Knicks need to let him be, hey, do your thing, work, because Hartenstein is playing him really well defensively. Mm-hmm. Let him work. And by the time we get to the fourth quarter, the Sixers offense should be a little bit more discombobulated. This is my halftime report. This is my strategy for going
trying
into
to speak
half.
This into existence. Eventually, they're going to be due for some missed long distance threes. Yes, even when they're wide open. I like that.
I mean,
again, Maxey gets activated, the Winter Soldier. Here
yeah,
we go.
Well, at some point you think, but here's the other thing, is that Maxey's not scoring. Yeah, okay, but all the other guys are hitting from, what are you going to do? Like, okay, if they weren't hitting, maybe Maxey is
No, but that's the beauty. Is if that does get a little bit cold, or your Knicks come out and Thibodeau has them pressing out to the line a little bit more and not giving the shooters some free rein, then Maxey gets to go to work, and we see how lightning fast he can get to the lane.
So there you go. There's my Knicks strategy for the second half. Go New York. But again, I've already accepted that they're going to lose this game. And it's
already resigned to that fact.
I resigned that after game five, I told you. They're going to lose by 30. Maybe they won't lose by 30.
You'll still get consolation pizza, so it's all good.
And now I want Scott Foster doing game. If you're going to give Scott Foster to us for game six in Philly, you're giving us Scott Foster for game seven in New York.
No, this is like Angel Hernandez getting rotated to the second base. He can be on the staff, but he's not going to be the head official. How about that?
Ready for a new job like Scott Foster? Let Express Employment Professionals help. Express is hiring for jobs in a variety of industries, and job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Check out expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com. Well, coming up next, we'll have more on this game again. Knicks and Sixers at halftime. But straight ahead, the Bucks go home. We will hear from Doc Rivers. What does this mean for the futures of Giannis, Lillard, and Doc? I'll tell you this. Two guys out of those three will be gone this offseason.
Well, two out of three ain't bad.
LeBron James.
Coming up next right here, Jason and Mike. Fox.
Just not Doc.
It's not Blake's fault. It's not Blake's fault. It's not a-
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, I'll buy a tie shirt. Did you just start streaming Married with Children?
No, I just like Frank Sinatra.
Okay, all right.
That would be a hell of a flex if he did, though.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you.
What a show.
No, ma'am.
I dig the move, though. Hand in the pants, feet up.
Sure.
Good move.
That's life.
He would be canceled today, right?
Yeah, I don't.
No, they tried for all 10 years they were on.
Yeah, I don't think you could get Married with Children up today.
No, ma'am doesn't work in 2024.
No, I don't think so. Although my dad still runs his favorite line all the time from Al Bundy when like it's like Al's having the horrible day, whatever, and the doorbell rings, and I wonder who that could be.
Marcy Darcy.
No, and Al Bundy says, "I hope that's a bullet with my name on it."
Yeah,
my dad says that all
it's
the
great
time.
Line.
I hope that's a bullet with my name on it. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Thoroughbred
Racing has a new independent regulator, HISA, that's implementing comprehensive reforms and the sports combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to help keep its athletes safe. To learn more, visit SafetyRunsFirst.com. That's SafetyRunsFirst.com. So, Knicks and Sixers at halftime. Sixers overcome a 28-9 deficit because 2016 Buddy Hield showed up. Oh, great!
You know,
perfect.
Buddy Hield had 2 points in the first five games of this series.
Come on, man. Really? Like, what the hell?
Little Buddy comes through big. Look at him.
I don't know if I feel worse. Like, would I feel better if it was Maxey with a huge first half, or do I feel better that it's not Maxey and it's Buddy Hield? I mean, come on.
No, really? No. You'd rather be Maxey because you expected it. Instead, it's Buddy Hield kicking your ass,
man,
wearing a headband and laughing at you.
I mean, that dude's got 17 off the bench. He's got 5 threes in the first half. It's like, oh, hey, it's 2016 again. I'm Buddy Hield. I'm the guy everybody wants on their team.
Wait. Now there's going to be a bunch of thought pieces going. If we could get this Buddy Hield and team him up with LeBron and AD, look at this.
Yeah, just watch on Twitter. He'll start trending. Alex Caruso will start trending again.
The headband bros? Is that what we're doing?
They'll start trending. And so will who else will trend there? No, that'll be them and Caruso. Oh, and Danny Green will trend too. That's right, Danny Green.
Isn't he?
Danny
Green will trend as well. He's doing studio stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, doesn't matter. That's how it's going to trend.
Okay.
But we saw earlier tonight the Bucks get knocked out of the playoffs by the Indiana Pacers. Obi Toppin, ex-Nick, now good, 21 points and 8 boards off the bench. Indiana wins it 120-98. It was not a close game. Lillard did play, but wasn't quite himself, wasn't hitting shots, no Giannis. And now it turns to, what do you make of this Milwaukee Bucks first round failure? There's three big players that are going to dominate most of the three big people dominating most of the conversation, obviously. Giannis, Lillard, and Doc Rivers. And I'll tell you this. If you're Milwaukee, you have to see past this, oh, if we had Giannis, it might have been different. You have to see past that and say, what are we going to do to keep Giannis happy, right? What do we have to do? Because we're not getting better, even with Giannis. We're still out in the first round. So of those three, Giannis isn't going anywhere, right? This year, he's got another year. The year to worry about Giannis is if the changes they make this year, because they're going to have to make changes in the offseason to keep him happy, if they don't work now this time next year, if the Bucks fail, then you're going to worry about Giannis. Giannis saying, hey, maybe I've maxed out here. I need to go someplace else, right? That's what you're looking at. Now, the guys to worry about are, or not worry about, but you worry about Lillard and Doc Rivers. Because quite honestly, how happy is Damian Lillard seeing how this year went? He did not want to go to the Bucks. It was not his preferred destination. They couldn't get a deal with the Heat going on, so he goes to the Bucks. And what happens? It was awkward. He wasn't the same guy all year. He looked like he was a bit of a shadow of himself in the first couple of games. He was hitting shots, and there was no Giannis. It's like, okay, maybe he just needed to be the one again, because that's kind of who he was his whole career. But this did not work out. This did not work out for the Bucks. He never able to figure out a way to say, okay, hey, with the two-man game here with me and Giannis, they got me to make big shots in the playoffs. This did not work. So I am not going to be surprised when you hear Damian Lillard may want out. Damian Lillard might wind up getting that trade he always wanted to get to his preferred destination, because clearly the Bucks need to do something. Because if they don't, you're looking at saying, well, other teams are going to get better this year. We're just getting older, and Lillard's getting older. Is this really better for? Are we really going to get better? Is this really going to happen? So the first thing I'll tell you right now is I am not going to be surprised when Lillard is on his way out. Either he says, I want to get to a better team, I want to get to my destination, or the combination of that and the Bucks realizing, okay, we tried this, it didn't work. Now we got to try something else, and hopefully it works with Giannis. So Lillard, this season, I would not be surprised. This is it for him in Milwaukee.
Yeah, the big thing with Lillard, though, is still trying to ascertain how much he was impacted by everything swirling around, right? New confines, a pending divorce, all of that stuff. And we've talked about that at length with other players in the past, and it certainly has come up a bit, and he's been pretty candid with some of his remarks as to how things happened and transitioned here, that it became a very difficult piece. Can you push that past, right? Is it a one-year thing, or does that, you know, without another move, you know, become something that just lingers, right? That he never finds peace, contentment, and whatever else he needs to make Milwaukee a new home beyond the basketball side of it, right? I think there's two completely different discussions going on, right? Feeling comfortable with fit and what the offense and what the total break is, because you also have the coaching changes, right? You've also acquiesced to whatever Giannis, we have to assume, a little bit of a LeBron James-like invisible hand, going back to Budenholzer being ousted, going back to Griffin being ousted, and now whatever's gone on with Doc, that some of that is Giannis-inspired slash directed. And let's remember, a few years ago, if it wasn't for the clown shoe of going back in the playoffs of Kevin Durant, they would have never won their title either.
Well, look, it's a big clown shoe dilemma. It's a which way and a which way.
Right, because it would have gone terribly, right? Yeah. You might have had a bunch of firings and everybody shuffle up and deal right then, but it happened and they survived.
It happened.
So you smile and you put it away for a little while until you couldn't, you know, not see it there. Hey, let's go back in there and revisit it.
The issue is the Bucks need to keep moving to keep Giannis happy, right? You can see he's getting more and more frustrated, and when you get more frustrated, your patience comes to an end. It doesn't get longer. It comes to an end. Even Jerry Jones, his patience is coming to an end. This is the last season for this team, then I'm going to sell the team.
But I'll bring it back, Zeke.
We're going to move to Michigan and take over for Harbaugh. So this is where I am not going to be surprised when this is the last year for Damian Lillard in Milwaukee. Now, maybe he gets to Miami, but there's going to be some kind of movement made because the Bucks need something else because this didn't work. Now, when it comes to Doc Rivers, I mean, this really should be the end of Doc's coaching career. It really should. How many more teams does he need to take over and underachieve with until you realize, boy, Doc really isn't the guy? I don't know what it is that people think Doc Rivers is just this great coach.
They love, yes, Doc.
He's living off of 2008 when he had three Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I could coach a team with three Hall of Famers. KG, Pierce, Ray Allen, hit some shots, go out there and spread the floor a little bit. And when you need a three, I think Posey will hit one. Like, he's living off of 2008, right? He won in 2008, lost the next year, blew a big lead, never got the Clippers past the second round with all the talent that he had, jumps, doesn't win at his next stop in Philly. No. Now he goes, and now he gets the job in Milwaukee. And not only could he not win in Philadelphia with Embiid, he can't win in Milwaukee with Giannis. And this is not just, oh, hey, things were great, and then Giannis gets hurt and we flame out. Things were awful with Giannis when he took over. There was no cohesion. There was no, we're playing well. I mean, he took over a team that was 30-13, mm-hmm, and all they were sitting around at 500 the entire time, right? I mean, he's got a losing record in the playoffs, Doc, since 2016. He didn't even get to Game 7 this time. Yeah. He didn't even get to Game 7. Hey, I'm going to fall. Oh, in Game 7. No, didn't even get there this time.
Because the other thing is they didn't just lose these games.
Yeah, I mean, they were not competitive.
Right, no. Right? Like, through the balance of the series. Without that crazy-ass Middleton game, they were non-competitive.
And now you wonder how much the Pacers just say, you know what, we're not going to go crazy and expend ourselves in this game here in Game 5.
Like the Celtics did.
I mean, look.
Right? You lost one, and then you said, all right, enough screwing around. Stop playing with your food. Go finish this thing off.
But this really should be the end of Doc Rivers' career. Because not only does he not win, doesn't take any responsibility for it, and here he is. I knew this was coming, right? The Doc Rivers excuse.
Let's go.
This is him just a few moments ago talking about the end of the season in Milwaukee and how it came to an end and how really, well, when, you know, when we don't have Giannis, we're not going to win.
Winning is incredibly hard. It takes 12, 15 players turning themselves into one and buying in, your staff being together as one, and then health. And then you still may not win. You know, it's just hard. And you're not going to win unless you're healthy or unless you're really deep. So nothing you can do about it. You know, Giannis plays the way he plays, and we need him to continue to play that way. Dame probably had a season this year where he never really could get in the right condition that he wanted because he didn't know where he was going all summer. And so he couldn't work out.
Wait,
how the hell is that? Wait, what?
I can't work out. That is Doc Rivers in a nutshell.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard come from a podium. We've heard a lot of crazy-ass stuff.
He
couldn't work out because he didn't know where he was going?
He started off by saying, hey, you need all these things. It's hard to win. Gee, thanks for telling me it's hard to win. You need all these things to go right, and you still may not win. Oh, okay. And then gets into, never had a chance. You're not going to win when you're not healthy. You know, we need Giannis to play the way he wanted to. Dame couldn't get in shape. Really? He couldn't get in shape from the end of the summer all the way till now. It's the next year. I mean, really, look at Doc Rivers and the excuses that he just continues to throw out there. He never takes any responsibility. Just once, I'd like to see Doc say, hey, I couldn't get them to play to their maximum capability, and that's on me. I'd love, but he's never going to say it.
But at the beginning of the statement, when he said you needed all 12 to 15 to play, I think he was kind of owning it very obliquely of, I never got anybody on the same page here. That just never happened. But he glosses past that, and immediately gets into injury and health issues. Like, the Lillard thing, again, it's nuanced in terms of what's going on in his personal life, etc. But to say he's not in shape because he didn't know where he was going, all right, expound upon that one for me a little bit. Because from a physical standpoint, that doesn't matter. Unless you're saying, all right, he would have really needed to ramp it up if he was going to go play in Denver with great regularity. I mean, other than that, it makes no sense.
I mean, really, everything, that is Doc Rivers in a nutshell. I'm going to offer excuse after. I'd have loved to grow up as a kid. I'd love to have been Austin Rivers in his house because I could make any excuse I want to. Yeah, okay, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
You know, Dad, I mean, to make this happen, we needed all eight of my guys. I mean, come on. Did you think we, to get away with that, we would need all eight of these guys to keep their mouths shut and never rat on their friends. You know there's loose lips in any series. Someone's talking to their mom or dad or brother or sister or the girlfriend. I mean, we're going to get screwed. I mean, Dad, I mean, you could see this from a mile away, right? You can understand where I'm coming from.
The injuries in the NBA playoffs now are a given, right? Yeah. We talk about it. The way to win, I agree with him. The way to win is to stay healthy. I'm not disagreeing with Doc Rivers. Hey, Doc, but you know what? I'm pretty sure the Knicks are going to sit here and not going to say at the end, oh, if we had Julius Randle, oh, if we were healthy.
Well, Josh Hart already did that.
All right,
Josh Hart did that earlier.
The Clippers, well, the players are one thing. Players are one thing. It's the coach that sits here and says, okay, I'm going to sit here and tell you what's going on. You're not going to see that. You're not going to see Ty Lue say, hey, oh boy, not having Kawhi. Injuries happen in the playoffs, and you have to figure out a way around it. But to sit there and just throw your hands up and say, okay, well, what are we going to do? Everybody else is hurt, man. You find a way. Yes, it's much more difficult, and there's an advantage if your team is healthy. But everybody is hurt. We already have a laundry list of players who are out there that are injured. We already have a first-team All-Stars worth of players. The Celtics aren't going to lose next round of the Knicks and say, oh, and in the finals of the Knicks, they go, yeah, we had Porzingis, it would be fine. This is what happens. But yet Doc is making it seem like, yeah, there's no excuse. There's no choice. We just lost. There's no ownership of anything from Doc.
But the other thing, when you play this many games, it becomes pain threshold and severity of injury to the point where you can't go at all. And, you know, how many of these guys are at the, well, you know what, I probably could use the extra day off. It's like the NFL. By week three, everybody's dealing with something and could technically be on the injured list. Same thing here in the NBA when you've played... What are you into? Your 95th game when you add preseason? Even if you're only playing limited minutes then? I mean, you're into some crazy-ass runs, and we know how short benches get during the playoffs. And even with an extra day off, that's not buying you enough time to recover at this point. So using injury excuses. Look, Dame gave it the old college try. I didn't think he'd play today.
Yeah, no,
I didn't expect that at all.
It's great he went out to play.
He tried to show some heart and get out there, but you know, once you're out there, that's how you get judged. Like, there's no curve.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Speaking of the Clippers,
wow!
Up next, you want to know who's got the worst contract in the NBA? Oh, we got that for you straight ahead. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the TireRack.com studios. Joe Gibbs at the game today.
How about that?
How about Joe Gibbs being at the
Knicks? Hey, it's Big Dom.
Yeah, Big Dom is there, probably kicking Knicks players out of the game.
Yeah, but Joe Gibbs. How about that?
Yeah.
We're good.
3 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Sixers with a 77-74 lead over the Knicks. Sixers overcoming a huge 28-9 deficit to come back and take the lead, thanks to Buddy Hield, Batum off the bench, hitting all kinds of threes. So the Sixers with a three-point lead. Again, 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Long way to go, and I'm still waiting for Scott Foster to really have a Scott Foster-like impact on the game.
Yeah, we haven't seen any of those big moments just yet where they've done a couple of ISO shots on him.
Yeah, like they're waiting as, for you. You're waiting, yeah.
Just foreshadowing.
Boy, eventually...
It's almost like you're watching a horror movie and there's like that little frame that they sneak in a scene.
Yeah,
it's like, did I just see that?
Like a subliminal thing?
No.
When you see somebody and they're just having a conversation and the killer is like all the way in the back and you see him just like
kind of
50
fuzzy
yards
there.
Away,
yeah.
Just standing there, you're like, it's coming to get you.
It's that guy, yeah.
I'm going to get you. They're coming to get you. But, look, it is time to take a look and say, all right, Kawhi Leonard has the worst contract in the NBA, right? We got into this a little bit last night. And yes, I get it. I heard the Odd Couple talking about it. They think that Bradley Beal has the worst deal. He's 3 years, $190 million. Yes, that's a bad contract. But Kawhi Leonard, this is why he's got the worst contract. 3 years, $154 million. And surprise, he signs when he's healthy. Right? When he's healthy in January, things are going great. Yeah, sign. Hey, I got my money. And now he's not playing. He's already going to be out for the next game, which could be the last game in the Clippers season. It's the worst contract in the NBA because the Clippers are built around him. Right? Like, if you say, yeah, Bradley Beal's a bad contract for the Suns, okay, but Devin Booker's a better player. And Kevin Durant's a better player, right? You're talking about, yes, your number three
guy. He was an additive.
Your number three guy has a bad contract. And I get that. I'm not saying it's good. But this is your number three guy. The Clippers gave all this money to Kawhi Leonard. And they've done nothing in the last 4 years. He could barely stay on the court. And now you're tied to him for another 3 years after this, when clearly you've seen the best of Kawhi. He's getting into his mid-30s. He's not going to suddenly get healthier. He's not going to suddenly lead the Clippers to somewhere they haven't been. The Clippers are just stuck because they couldn't stand up and say, you know what? We've tried for 4 years with this, right? Can't say the Clippers weren't patient. They didn't give the Kawhi Leonard and Paul George era a chance. You can't say they didn't do that. They did. And I'm glad they were patient. But this is now going to be 4 years, and the Clippers are no closer to a title than they were when they got Kawhi Leonard. So, yeah, this should have been a tough decision to say, yeah, let's wait and let's try to regroup in the offseason. Because signing a guy off injury history who's 33 to a three-year deal doesn't help. Right? So you're talking about the Clippers who are saying, we're just going to be kind of who we are for the next 3 years. We'll be a team that makes the playoffs. We'll win 45-ish games potentially during the season. Maybe less, because maybe Kawhi Leonard's more injured. He plays less. But you've now said, we are going to be mediocre at best for the next 3 years after this. That's why this is the worst contract, because he's the guy. He's the guy. Everybody else is supposed to be around him. That's why this is such a bad contract.
Well, now you have the other piece that flows out of that is Paul George saying, do I want to sign up for this? Right? He's got a player option. And look, this begets a much larger discussion about what you really think Paul George is at this point, because he's great at times. And then he... I just saw Joel Embiid giving Jalen Brunson a couple minutes ago the little too small thing. Sometimes Paul George kind of disappears and plays a little bit small, right, when they've needed him. You know, the old Randy Van Warmer that we love to do. You left me just when I needed you most to come up big and to be a leader and assertive. So for the Clippers, would not be the worst thing in the world if he opted out and then someone else decided to jump at him with a giant bag of money, be it the Sixers, be it and there's probably five or six teams that you can name off the top of your head. Hell, just go across the way and stay at crypto.com with the Lakers when it's all said and done. I mean, there's just a lot that rides on it, and you've got to get other people to buy in that that's your lead. Because I agree with you. The Beal deal is as terrible as it is. He was at an add-on that said, oh, we'll get him. We have to overpay, but we'll get him. But he's not the focal point of what you're trying to do. With Kawhi, that's the guy that you've had this whole thing running around the whole time. Never passed the torch, right? Like LeBron was supposed to do to AD. That never happened. Same thing in L.A. You brought these guys. Remember Streetlights before Spotlights or whatever the hell that campaign was? It was still Kawhi first.
Listen, I agree. I would much rather have Larry Beal's contract than Bradley Beal. I would much rather
have
that. No, it's
100%.
I would much rather.
Aloha.
Aloha means goodbye. I would much rather have Larry Beal's contract.
My old Yahoo Sports colleague.
I really, my guy. But you could still overcome that because you have two better players and one who is a younger star in Devin Booker. Like the Clippers, like this is, we're going to build around a guy that we don't know when he's ever going to play. That you can't count. How do you build around a guy that you can't count on him being on the floor?
Because you can't just put him in bubble wrap because there's no guarantees ready for April.
That's just,
they tried that this year.
That's insane. Coming up next, boy, do we have a great story out of the NFL.
Is it great?
Make you scratch your head. Plus, Knicks and the Sixers are tied going to the fourth quarter. Knicks, yo.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.